You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hear the song.
Okay.
World Cup soccer.
All right.
Kid I used to have pointed out to me the answer.
Okay.
It's a cliche that it's a joke, and it's a cliche to pretend you're interested
yes,
in it.
Yes, right.
It is what it is.
It is in the middle, yeah.
It is what it is. But here's the reason this country is not a soccer country.
All right.
You ready? What's
yes.
your reason?
My reason is the lack of a real action that's going to lead to a result.
He came up with the answer.
Okay.
This country's best athletes don't play soccer.
Well,
if
that's
Michael
true.
Jordan and Patrick
yes.
Mahomes and...
Could have we seen the difference? So
all your stars are on a soccer team, and now you're a soccer fan.
Yes, except here, the influence of one individual
mm-hmm.
in basketball and in hockey mm-hmm. and in football is greater than in soccer. You can have the greatest player ever, and if they decide to chase him around with two guys, there's nothing he can do.
Yeah.
And the field's too damn big.
And beyond
but
that,
although the indoor soccer was worse than the outdoor soccer.
Beyond so. That, I'm not interested in it, which is a cliche, just as the people who are interested in it, it's a cliche.
And here's the other problem with the World Cup. The first round
it's being played in a
yes,
bleep hole country.
Yes, it is. But they put 32 teams in brackets of four, right? And they play a round robin, and two of those teams advance. So the whole thing is to figure out how to advance. So when we're playing Britain, and we've already tied Wales, and now if we get what they call a result, which means a tie or a win, that's another thing that drives me nuts, their language. But then all I got to do is beat Iran, which is supposed to be terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we start that game, and our goal is to have a 0-0 tie
mm-hmm.
to because they don't have overtime. Or overtime in the group. It's just group play. Those three games, those round robin games, you just add up points, and if you get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie, and the U.S. figures, okay, we got a tie with Wales, we got a tie with. Now we got to go out and figure out a way to get a tie with Britain, because if they get beat, I mean with England, if they get beat 3-0. Then they're in big trouble. But if they go out and get a tie, then it increases. So your whole thing is to advance through that round, not to be impressive doing it. Britain didn't give it. Britain had already had 3 points from a win, right, from a beating Iran. So they didn't give a damn. They were fine for
it's a perfect game for socialism. Nothing happens.
They were fine. They were fine 0-0. They were fine with that, Britain. The fans hated it over there. We loved it. We thought it was exciting. But the whole concept of the here's how bad it is.
How bad is it?
1994.
Yeah.
I am at the world championship game, the one that's going to decide it all. These little guys in their little shorts mm-hmm. have been around here for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, finally, we're going to get the damn thing over and send them back where they came from, right?
Okay, Trump.
Which is when it comes to soccer, I am Trump. I am Trump. Send them back where they came from.
Yep.
And so now we have Italy and Brazil for the title.
All right.
Italy and Brazil for the title. Brazil way more talented than Italy. The game starts, and now in the knockout rounds, as they call it, they have 30 minutes of overtime, 15 minutes, and then 15 more minutes. Italy's goal when that game starts is to have a scoreless tie and go to penalty kicks 2 hours from now. And they did not. They got 90-some thousand people at the Rose Bowl, and they did not try to do a damn thing except kick the ball back and forth and prevent goals and do everything to have no action so they can get to penalty kicks where it's a coin flip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. They succeeded. They kept it scoreless, and then Brazil won 3-2 in penalty kicks. And then they acted like it was a glorious victory. But your championship game is a game where one of them's goal is to not have any goals scored in the game. It was just dreadful. That's when I decided I couldn't stand
it. You know who that they modeled their game after then?
Well, he's one of the guys.
Yes, Jacques. Jacques would have been one a great soccer
neutral
coach.
Zone trap.
Yes, right. It was
not a real football.
Not a real football.
Real football.
I believe you have expressed support for Justin Jefferson in the past.
Yes.
What'd you think of him Thursday?
Most exciting player maybe in the history of the Vikings.
Or the game. Unbelievable. He is, I was saying.
The best part, though, did you see the post game when he's trying to eat the turkey?
With the grills in.
He says, I got to get back to the crib and get these grills out so I can eat the turkey.
And then Thielen spits it out because it's too dry.
Too tough.
That was.
And then Kirk says, I don't know if my dentist in Main Street, Michigan will put grills in for me.
I did not watch the post game. I never watched post games.
And then Patrick Peterson ran in there, swiped a big leg, and took off.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
You know what? They're becoming an endearing bunch.
Yeah, they are. They were very endearing after the Buffalo game. And
how do you account for the game
kicked.
In the middle?
Well,
it happens.
Jeez.
Yeah, doesn't happen like that too often. But Jefferson is
he is amazing.
He made about four catches that you said really. I mean, you're trying to figure out how they had all these comebacks.
But you know,
because
noticed,
of him, that's how they have him. He either catches it. Or Thielen's wide open because they're trying to cover Jefferson.
I'm noticing something.
Yes.
Having watched more football than I normally would, college and pros.
Yes.
These guys are catching the ball like they never have
yes,
before.
Yes, I have been saying that. What?
This is
five,
this
6 years.
This is amazing.
I've been
the
saying
the one-handed
that.
Catch of these kids is nothing.
No, I've been saying for 5 or 6 years, what we don't take into account with all these passing games is the catches these guys now make.
It's phenomenal.
It's the spectacular. You know, we were always impressed with Chris Carter because he could catch a pass and ride the sidelines, keep his feet in. They were routine. He wasn't doing that, leaping up in the air with one hand and standing.
These are ballet performers.
The one that Devontae Adams made yesterday was pretty impressive against Seattle.
I didn't see it. Well, yeah. What'd he do?
He was, and they won in overtime, but he caught one on the sideline using the left shoulder to keep the defender away from him as he's rotating and caught it with his shoulder and his right hand. That was pretty good.
You've seen it in some of the college games.
Yeah, there are some stud. I don't watch much college, but there are some stud receivers too. But there are, I say it's the easiest position to find players, athletes. There's athletes, but there's only a select number of great ones. You know, there's these guys, and then but there's really
competent
ones. It
seems every team
ones.
Has one.
Yeah, yeah. This guy. It's time to vote an end in as the receiver in as an MVP.
Yep.
They ought to give this guy serious consideration.
Okay, you want my second observation?
Mm-hmm.
something's got to be done. I mean, this is an old topic, but I might have a new wrinkle on it. Something has to be done about the officiating. It's becoming too overbearing and too interrupting and too and they're calling now. Certain things should still always be called: face masks and obvious offsides. And but I saw one the other day. I don't even remember which game it is. Ineligible receiver downfield.
Mm-hmm.
He was downfield by this much.
Yes. Yeah.
Took away a touchdown.
Yeah.
They're ruining the game with their constant intrusions
again, Joe. For any number of years, I've been saying, here's the problem with the NFL, particularly. The official should say, the official's thought should be not, how can I, should be, how can I not call a penalty,
mm-hmm.
rather than, boy, what can I find here to call
a
penalty?
It's ruining the game.
It has to come and hit you in the head before you call a penalty.
And you see a change once postseason starts.
But
it's very noticeable.
But a lot of this is also the crew that is refereeing. And what is disgusting is the crews that call the most penalties are the ones that end up advancing to the playoffs.
They're putting a sour effect on the game.
Basketball has always had the highest level of influence with officiating because they can give you points, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can, but I think football at the NFL has gotten more intrusive into the result of a game. That it's brutal. It is. It drives
me
crazy.
Grant was onto this 40 years ago.
Yeah.
He wants professional officials. I'm not sure that would cure the problem.
Well, it would standardize the crews to some extent, I think, right?
Yeah, it might, yeah.
You wouldn't have to have the same guys together all the time.
Well, the other
either.
Part of it, too, is once they decided to put a guy in the booth, now all of these Sean Hockleys of the world want to be the next guy in the booth.
Okay, here's what I'd do if I ran the league.
So it's the 15-minute explanation of what the call should have been and what it eventually became on the field.
I'd revamp the rules and make anything that can... seriously injure another player would be a reason for a whistle.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
targeting
something. I mean, you can't
face mask.
You can't allow the offensive lineman to grab a guy and throw him down. You gotta have holding.
Okay, but I want to see that to call holding.
Yes,
not this.
Yeah, the worst. I was having this thought again a couple of days ago.
I'm having thoughts about this. I can't believe it.
The worst thing to ever happen to sports is review rules.
Right.
You should not.
And look at baseball creeping towards it.
Oh, more and more. Baseball. Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, let's see.
It was a half inch.
Boy,
that used to be called tie goes to the runner.
Finger came off the bag by a half an inch. And TV loves it because it makes them important.
Yep.
But I was watching a game. Yeah, and you're right, Reavers. The guy up there, he wants to get in on the action.
Mm-hmm. He feels left out.
He put on his best suit. He wants to be on TV.
There's a call down there that nobody's even arguing about, and all of a sudden this jackass from up there beeps his way in. He's got to look at it.
The best example of that was the touchdown they took away from New England on Thursday night by Hunter Henry. Like, wait, that's not a touchdown?
No,
like, what?
You're holding. How come you can...
He didn't survive the ground.
How come you can be a receiver? Mm-hmm. I mean, a runner. And if the nipple of the ball
hits the goal
touches the goal line,
mm-hmm.
and then a ball comes flying out
mm-hmm.
and up in the air and somebody returns it 100 yards, it's a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
It touched the line. But you can throw a pass to a guy who's got the ball in two hands for 2 seconds above the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he goes down to the ground, it wobbles.
It wobbles.
It never left his hands.
Right.
It never got to the ground. And it's not a touchdown?
Yeah.
That is serious
crap. Well, I'm telling you, they're ruining the game.
Yeah, but people watch it in huge numbers. And they, you know, TV got in on the action by saying, we'll be back with the decision on this review.
Oh, yes. Don't touch that dial.
You're going to have to come back. They do not get the public anywhere on television. Can they get the public to stay through the ads more than when they're having a review that's important, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's the only time we stay for the ads. Mm-hmm. Everything else, we click away. They call timeout, we go to find another game, or we go find something else. But on a review, I got to see what they're going to do here.
I can't touch the dial.
But it's becoming more common. You can have a 10-play drive,
yes,
and a flag is thrown 7 times.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's if you get one of those fired-up crews, yep, that loves to control the game. And I think there's guys back there that, boy, I haven't thrown a flag here for about 10 minutes. Maybe I should throw one here pretty soon. They're going to get –
And he's an insurance agent in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah. with the money you're making, too.
Mm-hmm.
They could have – you know, maybe you shouldn't keep these crews together. That they think that's great. Yeah, they get so chummy, and you know, this is, yeah, you're right.
There was a video that I was made aware of by a mutual friend of a guy that started Thanksgiving a bit early, then had the Thanksgiving festivities with the fam, then went to the Vikings game.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say the second half of that was a little rough for the young man.
Was he in?
I don't think he ended up in jail.
This was a companion, a friend of
this
yours?
This is a friend of a friend. Okay. I don't know the person that well.
So he stayed up. He had the late Wednesday night thing.
Oh, I'm sure,
got
yes.
Got hammered. And then he started drinking with the family?
Got to get up and, you know, got to prepare the bird and do all that stuff. And you got to have a couple cold ones while you do that. And then went to the Vikings game Thursday night.
Well, I ran into Tim Murray at the Wild game Friday. Proprietor, big Wild. He had a Wild jersey on and a big Wild fan. And I said, Tim, you got a bad break. That game got over too late for you to get the post-Viking crowd. He said, I don't want the post-Viking crowd. So they're all drunk.
I want the pre-Viking crowd.
He says, I got a hard enough time keeping staff in current times than having to have to deal with a bunch of drunks after a game. You know, if a nice, polite guy wants to come down and go to dinner with his wife after the contest, but there aren't many of those left.
Well, you're not going to have dinner at 11 o'clock.
No, I said no. I said because of the game time. If it was a Thursday, if it was a game, you could have had the crowd in there. If the game ends at 6, you can get people in there.
That run, the Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday, because the Wild played at 2, right, on Friday?
Yep.
Was it 1? I think it was 1.
Well, it was an afternoon tilt. They were looking for servers in the downtown St. Paul and Minneapolis area big time, yeah.
They were the Wild game. Anybody who doesn't, who questions the help that... that a team gives to a downtown. I was going to the Wild game, and I stopped at the Cassettas. Sarah McClellan recovers the Wild for the Star Tribune, and I don't show up to games very often, so the first time I show up to a game, I stop at Cassettas and get a little something from the French bakery there, the Pasteria or whatever it is. So I stopped there. This is at 11:30 for a 1 o'clock start. There had to be 120 people in line for the Cosetta's buffet.
Really?
They were all the way back, all the way back, all the way down the hall. They were going in there to eat the Cosetta's buffet, man. It was, you know. And guess what? If there's no hockey game, I don't even think they're open.
They might not be.
So it was, it helps.
Did you see any of the game last night, Green Bay at Philly?
Not much. Okay. I did see the, every time I turned it over, Philly was running for 12 yards.
So. Well, I was going to say, that's your MVP right there.
Jalen Hurts?
Oh, yeah.
Now, he only played in high school. He didn't go to college?
No, he played at Alabama and Oklahoma and then transferred to Oklahoma.
Well, when he was introduced last night, he just gave his high
school. Gave his high school because he probably didn't. Some of them do that. He probably didn't want to. He won a national championship at Alabama, and then Tua showed up, and they benched him and played Tua, and then Hurts sat on the bench for a year and then transferred to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Rodgers got hurt. The paper doesn't tell us why.
He had a rib injury.
Looked like bad ribs and everything else.
I think it was technically diagnosed as an oblique, but it was his ribs.
Well, it was technically diagnosed as
upper body.
Oh, I missed that. Sure.
But Jordan Love came in. Yep. Is it football. Jordan? Mm-hmm. Jordan Love. And looked very good.
Yes, he did.
Very good.
Give me a break. Yeah, you guys sound like Chris Collinsworth. That guy drives me nuts. Jordan Love comes in. He throws a little square out pass to the, you know, to the guy running out of the
backfield. Every pass was perfect. Every pass
out of the
backfield.
Well, your 10-year-old grandson can make that throw.
Yeah.
And the next one for the touchdown, he threw it to an open receiver.
Yeah.
And the guy was open and he threw it to him.
Yeah.
There was nobody within 8 feet of him.
Well, that was my question, though, is are we going to see only Love from now on?
Well, if they were smart,
the season's over for them.
Yeah, they're 4-8. If they were smart, they'd tell Aaron to take the rest of the year off. And if you want to play the last one, if you want to play the last one, but there's nothing to be gained by having Rodgers not letting this. They got to make a decision on this kid because he's after the third. This is third year. After the third year, they have to say whether they're picking up the option, right? Mm-hmm. The fifth year, which is big money. So they'll have to pick it up. But, I mean, they got to play him, find out what he is, right? Mm-hmm. Rodgers is – they got to shop. If somebody – they got to get rid of Rodgers, and if somebody wants to give him a fourth-round draft choice, take it.
Oof.
You know? Right?
I still think he'd have some value if he wanted to play. But he did have the –
I think
very
Russell,
disinterested look in the
I
first
think Russell
quarter.
Wilson has lowered the market for over the hill quarterbacks substantially Denver gave up the
everything.
Farm. They gave up the farm and now he stinks. Mm-hmm. And it's not good. Never trust a man in football. Now this is a hot take.
Okay.
Never trust a guy to be the leader of your football team if he says he didn't engage in premarital sex. That's what I say.
Wait a minute. Hold
didn't
on.
He? No,
oh,
keep
my.
That out there.
That's a scolding hot
that is
sports
a scolding spot sort. You know, he and the singer he married, whoever
Sierra.
She was, they bragged about that. Come on.
How about Cousins wears his wedding ring when he plays? I never trust a quarterback who does that.
Yeah. Well, oh, boy.
He's playing well.
Great throw to the tight end of that game, that Hawkinson, when he, that throw down there to the right was a hell of a throw. But he has learned the one thing O'Connell's gotten him to do is if there's a little coverage around, still throw it rather than.
Especially if it's Jefferson.
How come black guys aren't tight ends?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who was the last great black tight end?
I would think that that's a bit of a controversial comment. But
we had Antonio Gates. It was really good.
Yeah.
Was
Antonio
Kellen Winslow?
Gates. Yeah. The award for the tight end is named for John Mackey, who was one of the first great
But you have to admit, there aren't many.
Yeah, there are. It is a.
They all look like Hawkinson or Kelsey or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I think it's.
Who's the guy for.
You know, maybe because the brothers are too smart.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a tight end, you got to go block somebody, right?
Sure.
You're a wide receiver, you got to block some of the time, but not all of the time, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah, I think they're too smart.
Has Minnesota ever had a more exciting athlete than Jefferson in any sport?
Oh, I would think so.
Well, who?
What about Kaprasov?
Puckett.
And you're talking commies.
Okay.
Puckett.
Puckett. Buxton, when he plays, is exciting.
Yeah, but not. Well, he doesn't play.
Puckett.
So. Puckett. You know, the early years. And the athletic aspect of it is, you know, the early years. Harmon wasn't an athlete.
But he's going to be, whether he likes it or not, he's going to spend his entire career being compared to Randy Moss. For a lot of reasons.
Different.
I agree completely. But I'm just saying the comparisons will be there till the day he stops playing football.
If I want a guy fighting for the ball, I want Jefferson. If I want a guy just going zoom, I'll take Moss. But
I got a breaking story just texted to me.
Okay.
George Kappas, 75 years old, died. Owned the Gopher Bar in downtown St. Paul.
I thought George was, he hadn't been to work for years.
He's dead.
I thought he was dead some time ago.
One of the great characters of all time.
Oh, God. I believe he was a supporter of former President Trump.
That would not surprise me.
You know what they did? The wife has been working. I stopped there once in a while. And the wife has been working there, and George hasn't been around, but I think it's his kid that's doing most of the cooking now. But they took down all the signs.
Yeah.
I think somebody said, you know, there will be a guy, who voted for a DFL or who might want a hot dog in here sometime. Mm-hmm. So maybe you should take down the signs, which are very controversial to say the least. But whoever came up with the recipe for the sauce they put on the
it's chili.
I know that, but the recipe for that chili,
yeah,
is fantastic.
I bet you were never there, Reavers.
I've never been to the Gopher Bar.
Still going. Still, once in a while, it's just closed for no
reason.
George
could easily be insulting. What do you want?
Yes.
A chili dog. One or two?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, George's his son is, I think it's his son is much more, I wouldn't call him, you know, hey, give me a couple. Okay.
What intersection is it at?
It's
7th and...
It's way down Lower Town. It's
7th and...
Two Trump's. Blocks from the ballpark.
Okay.
Down there in Lower gotcha. Town.
I'll tell you what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is it Rookie's a huge fan of the Gopher Bar?
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's great. And
it had atmosphere.
Yes, but it's a hell of a dog. There's no doubt about it.
Why don't they give me the cross street here?
I thought
well,
George.
I can look it up. I just thought maybe you knew it off.
Well, it's
offhand.
It's a block up from the whatever's a block up from the ballpark is and 7th is what mm-hmm. it is.
Gotcha.
But it's way down in Lower Town. So George was only 75.
Mm-hmm.
God, I thought he was 75 when I worked at the St. Paul paper. He hadn't been at work for a long time. He must have been suffering from cancer or something for a long time. But
are we going to learn now that he had the heart of gold? And,
you know? No. You know what you need? This is when you miss him the most. The box.
Mm-hmm.
You miss the box. Don Boxmeyer.
Couple went in, a foursome, they had a beer. George yells at him, you want a bleeping pitcher of beer? It's cheaper.
Oh, they got George stories?
Yeah.
Oh, people are responding on Twitter.
No, it's St. Paul paper.
Oh, they just write the... Yes, yeah, it was a different deal.
You're still looking up the...
7th and Wakuda.
I knew it. I knew Wakuda. He was still looking up
7th
the
and Wakuda Streets.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's
that's been there since 1955. Prior to that, it opened in 1935.
Up on
down near the auditorium, where the auditorium is.
Oh yeah, I was up on the other side of town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where was it? Behind there?
I don't know. Okay. We ain't that old.
No, I know, but I knew they'd move down there. But it's great. Well, what was the other? There was one up on Wabasha that was at Coney Islands too. What
well, you're thinking of Arbonitas.
Yes, yes, yeah.
It still exists.
Is it
and
really?
Sometimes the daughter opens it maybe once a year.
Oh, is that? Oh, yeah. It's the building's still there.
The
huh?
building's still there with the old writing on the windows and the whole deal.
Oh, that's right. I see it. Yeah. But it's never
probably
opened.
The oldest building in St. Paul. There was
opens.
A Civil War armory, that building.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
That is one of the oldest. So, mm-hmm. Well, maybe she'll open hers in honor of George today then or something.
Yeah.
And well, yeah, it was not a welcoming place.
No.
But it's a little better now. The wife was.
You don't take the wife.
The wife's got an edge to her.
Yeah.
But not like George.
Oh, I thought you meant you took your wife.
No,
you don't take a.
The wife and I have gone.
Oh, I wouldn't take a wife.
Yeah, that was, yeah. We've gone. Yeah. At, I got her to go there once.
Yeah.
And she loved the dog. It's not as frightening as it used to be. but the product is great. The product is great.
It's just dogs with chili on it.
Yeah, but it's
And I don't think George reacted well if you sought, say, a craft beer.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been. We had a lot of craft beers. No, that's St. Paul. St. Paul isn't as unique as it used to be, but it's still unique. When I was writing the Denning thing a week ago, it was just all the, you know, the connections of all these guys. They all know each other. It's still a...
I called Snap. He showed up with a front end loader.
Yeah, half an hour later, Snap. I looked up how Snap got his name.
Snap
there was a thing. Snap Leitner is a fire department.
He was a buddy of Denning's.
Yeah, big buddy and big Cretan guy. Mm-hmm. But Snap's name was going to be Otto. He was Otto. His name was Otto, but they already had...
Otto.
Yeah. And they already had two Ottos in the family. And one of the uncles at the baptism said, "We can't have another Otto in the family. Let's call him Snapper." Yep. This is at his baptism, and the rest of his life he was Snap. They shortened it to Snap. Yep. He said, at the baptism, he says, we got too many.
That's models. Not going to work.
Not going to work. So Snapper became Snap, and he's still going. Snap is still going. He's only in his late 60s, I think. So, but, yeah, they all know each other.
What'd you think of your Wild when you saw him?
I don't like him.
You don't?
I don't like
him. They got to tighten it up?
I don't know about tightening it up. I don't. Well, the Flower let in two right off the bat.
Oof. One was terribly soft.
The second one was awful. Yeah. Awful. He kicked it in, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That guy playing your first line center is, what's his name? Sam somebody or nobody. They should have Eck playing with the first line, but they got him down there with Foligno and now Reeves. Who's really a good guy, by the way. I went and talked to him. We were talking to him 10 minutes. He's one of those rare hockey guys, when you ask him a question, he answers it.
Well, they're portraying him as a thug. He's not a thug.
Well, if he'll wants
answer
to fight,
the bell.
He wants to fight. Yeah, he wants to. He got a hit. The crowd was ready for him, though.
But he can skate. He can skate better than most goons.
Takes a little while. Yeah. Takes a little while.
Well, but you got to give him a shot.
Got to get started. But he had four hits, and the biggest cheers of the night, except for the goals, were when he hit somebody. So,
7-game homestand, and they have another one towards the end of the year, a 7-game homestand.
Weird.
What an odd schedule, because now they don't play again until Thursday.
I tell you, the hottest ticket in Twin Cities, though, is that Thanksgiving. The day after Thanksgiving, 1 o'clock game at the X. They played on that date, meaning the day after Thanksgiving, 20 times, and they've been home 19. Yep. So Craig Leopold, when he's talking to the schedule people, must say, "I don't care what you do to us, we're home on the Friday
Thanksgiving."
Because the urchins were out in force in their jerseys.
Oh, and they buy hats and sweaters.
Oh God, you couldn't get into the room.
No.
I got there early, and it was just packed.
Were they selling them for $300 like the new Twins jerseys?
I wonder if that's Joe Polad. You know, that was a Joe Polad production the other day.
Okay.
And now he's in charge.
So explain that to me and the listener.
What?
The transition with the Twins. Jim stepping down?
Jim's, not terribly fiery, and I think he's bored with it. And you know, he's kind of been... Carl said, "You're baseball, you're Pepsi, and Bill, I don't know what the hell you are." But, Bobby... Bobby ran the Pepsi thing out in Seattle. It sold for $5.
Who's running the cars?
I think Jim's in on that. I think that's Jim. But I think they're partners on most of this stuff. But
they own the Porsche dealerships.
They needed a front man. They needed a front man here for the Twins, and they needed a front man for the bottling company out in Seattle, which basically the Pepsi distributor for ungodly big territory. And Bobby was out there for years, but Joe's his kid, and Bobby's a little more of a fired-up type of guy. So, and Joe, they've been grooming him.
How old is Joe?
Just turned 40, I think.
Oh, okay.
And whose kid is Joe, Jim?
Bob. And Joe, as I said, we're hoping he's more successful than he was in the radio business, because he was the guy behind the
Yeah.
What was the name of that?
Go 96.3.
That didn't work out well.
Nah, they bought those two signals for $26 million and sold them for $4 million.
That's not good.
That's not. I think that's what it was. That didn't work out.
That's why we couldn't afford a frontline starting pitcher.
That was the attempt. That was the attempt to
couldn't get that game in Hudson, Wisconsin.
That was the attempt to mix alternative music with baseball.
Yeah.
You know.
They should have had the booth across from us at the fair down there next to the fried pork.
No, that's 93X. 93X is very popular, yeah. Right?
Yes, it is.
That's hip-hop, though, right?
No, it's hard rock.
Hard rock.
No, I'm telling you, they were down there, right across from us down the street.
I think Joe is right. They were inside.
They had that booth for
a while. They had a nothing booth with somebody sitting in there playing songs you couldn't discern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that didn't work out well, but no. He's going to try to modernize the operation, and it started with the introduction of the new uniforms at ungodly, or the new jerseys at ungodly prices. But you know what? This world is filled with coincidences, isn't it?
Yeah, and I have a thought about the unis, but go ahead.
Okay. The coincidences. So I go out to the unveiling. The new era of the Twins.
It's here. Mall of America. Twins.
And the guy telling us this is an animated black guy named Juice Sutton.
All right.
And Juice is one of, what do we call those guys?
Kind a DJ?
MC DJ.
Sure.
DJ type. There was a DJ, too, playing records.
Playing records.
Albums. This was
Juice, what record is this?
A 45?
He was doing this, though.
Yeah.
He was doing with his finger, like he was doing stuff. So, they try to pretend like they have something to do with the music.
That's right.
He was playing with it with his finger.
Right.
His name was, what the hell was it? Matty Mac.
Matty Mac.
God, it was wonderful.
Oh, Matty Mac's great.
But then Juice comes out and says, "How you doing, Twins fans?
Yeah.
Ready for the new era of baseball?" And I can look at Juice and say, "You have never been to a baseball game in your entire life." Okay? So now I'm saying, right? He don't know if he's on foot or horseback when it comes to baseball. Oh, let's hear it up there. Yay, in front. And then a little on the left. Yay, new era of Twins baseball.
Okay, I got an idea for it.
But I got to tell you, I go to the hockey game Friday.
Yep.
You know who's there?
Juice Sutton. Juice was there.
Juice is there.
Playing records.
What are the odds of running into Juice Sutton twice in a week when you never even knew he existed?
Okay. Matty Matt used to work at the nightclub I bartended at.
Oh, okay.
And a great guy. He's a really, really good guy.
Okay.
Drink a lot of Red Bull.
Could you get uppers?
He was a Red Bull guy. He does not drink.
Okay, really.
He drank about 8 cans of Red Bull.
Could play that music and not drink,
Did you read the letter to the editor from a guy who had a great point? Why all this emphasis on the Twin Cities for the Twins? We even put Twin Cities on one of the new uniforms.
One of the jersey. It's pretty good.
That's my favorite one of the ones.
Why does anybody care?
Yeah.
And this guy said, what about us? Rural fans.
There's 3 other jerseys.
So I'm thinking, pick a few cities with cool, like Okabena, and have uniforms that represent outstate Minnesota.
You mean Twins territory?
Twins territory. And now under East, what's Bemidji, and under it, Twins territory.
Mm-hmm. But they can't make that. They can't produce that many jerseys. That's
why
the
not?
Problem.
They sell them as souvenirs.
Yeah, they could make a few, I guess. I don't know. I don't think why are people offended? I mean, the two guys shaking hands over the river have been on there all the time with TC on them.
We were supposed to ask you, is that coming down? Is Minnie and Paul coming down?
No, Minnie and Paul will stay, but it could have a new look to it.
Oh.
Could represent more than white people, from what I understand.
I see.
But I haven't. But it's supposed to stay. They're saying it's staying.
Okay.
But
is Minnie or Paul, or one of them going to convert?
I would guess that That's what I heard. It did not represent.
So we're going to have some diversity.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be anything wrong with getting a Latin guy up there.
No.
I mean, they, you know.
How would you depict that, though?
I don't want to get into that.
No, either do I.
I'm already in enough trouble.
I was going to say, I've already got enough editing ahead of me.
Have we heard anything on that yet?
We're going to be okay.
No response yet.
We're okay. Yep, okay. We're okay.
No response yet.
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, you think that's enough?
I'm going to stop you before you get...
Well, no, I had... So the transition, because we had a couple of emails, Pat, is the only reason why I brought up the poll ad thing. So the transition, it's really nothing more than just a title here and there for the Twins.
Well, yeah, no, but Jim's going to be the guy. Joe's going to be the guy.
Okay.
Joe's going to be the CEO. When you're trying to get a hold of the CEO, Joe's the guy.
Joe's your guy.
I don't know if they gave him the title CEO, but he's the boss.
Gotcha.
And I knew it was coming, but I didn't know it was coming this quick. But I out there on at that whatever the hell it was, they were told, yeah, he's basically been running a lot of stuff behind the scenes for about 3 years.
Gotcha. Okay.
Ever since he lost his radio duties.
Although, you know, when the Twins, it's still my favorite moment, though, when the Twins were on Go 96, is because that was Joe's finest moment when he was going through the schedule, wondering what days off he was going to have from GL.
I didn't know we switched.
And then they had realized that, well, Joe, the Twins are now on Go 96. Right. They're not on 1500 anymore, which was...
Well, they should have stayed with 1500.
Yes, they should.
Yeah. Well, I just got a text from an employee over there on Joe. So
okay.
A former employee. I won't comment, but.
Somebody listening to us right now live?
No, he's
sending
me a
text. No, the news just came out on Joe Pollett's promotion to the Snooze Twins position.
Oh, I see.
Yep.
But we, particularly today... We're very supportive of the poll ads.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to say anything.
So. Is that enough?
I think so.
I think we gave more than they deserve.
Yeah,
see you later.
Goodbye. Yeah. You have heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Royce is a paid endorser.
The Canopy Group is an insurance agency that is unique by offering 16 carefully selected companies for home and auto insurance. And we're going to throw this holiday analogy at you. Would you be satisfied if the only dessert you could have this season was fruitcake? Not me, I wouldn't. That would be like having one agent representing one company. Meanwhile, your neighbor creates this dessert exchange with 40 family members. It's going to be great. You could have a fun family exchange with desserts like Divinity, peanut brittle, fudge, cutouts, gingerbread, all of that good stuff. At the Canopy Group, we get that it is all about options. That's why our insurance agency offers 16 companies. In addition, we have 40 licensed elves, I think those are agents, working behind the scenes to assure you always to have the best coverage at the best price. Remember, our clients' average saving is over $800 per year. This holiday season, don't get stuck with just the fruitcake. Get options. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com today.